Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. And today is September the 30th, 2025, or it is the 10th day of Tishri, 2029. This is the Day of the Atonement. We're going to start this service with prayer. We're going to start with chapter 1 of Patriarchs and Prophets, entitled, Why Was Sin Permitted? Ellen G. White is the author. It says, Yahweh is love. 1 John 4:16. His nature, His law is love. It ever has been, it ever will be. The high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose ways are everlasting, changes not. With Him is no variableness, not a shadow of turning. Isaiah 57:15. Habakkuk 3:6. James 1:17. Every manifestation of the creative power is an expression of the infinite love. For the sovereignty of Yahweh involves fullness of blessing unto all created beings, the psalmist said. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Righteousness and judgment are the foundation of thy throne. Mercy and truth go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They walk, O Yahweh, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name do they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness are they exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. For our shield belongeth unto Yahweh, and our King unto the Holy One. Psalms 89:13-18. Note, in this text, and in some other Bible quotations used in this book, the word Jehovah is employed instead of Lord, as rendered in the American Supplement to the Revised Version. Let's go on. For the history of the great conflict between good and evil, from the time that first began in heaven until the final overthrow of the rebellion and the total eradication of sin, is also a demonstration of the Yahweh's unchanging love. For the sovereign of the universe was not alone in his work for the beneficent. He had an associate, a co-worker, who could appropriate his purposes and could share his joy in giving happiness unto the created being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. Let's reread that sentence again. In the beginning was the Word, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. And the Word Yahshua was with the Father Yahweh. And the Word Yahshua, is a repeater, was with the Yahweh the Father. That should not have been repeated twice. For the same was in the beginning with the Father Yahweh. John 1:1-2. Yahshua as the Word, John 1:14, as the only begotten of the Father Yahweh, was one with the Eternal Father, one in nature, in character, and purpose, as the only being that should enter into all the counsel and purposes of the Father Yahweh. for his name shall be called a Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, the Father, of the Everlasting Father, for Yeshua, as the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, Micah 5:2. And the Son of Yahweh declares concerning himself, for the Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works were of old. I was set up from everlasting. When he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Proverbs 8:22-30. For the Father wrought by his Son in the creation of all the heavenly beings. By him were all things created, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16, angels are Yahweh's ministers, radiant with the light ever flowing from his presence, and speeding on rapid wing to execute his will. But the Son, as the anointed of the Father Yahweh, as the express image of his person, in the brightness of his glory, by the upholding all things by the word of his power, is with the holding supremacy over them all. Hebrews 1:3. For a glorious high throne from the beginning was the place of his sanctuary, Jeremiah 17:12. A scepter of righteousness, the scepter of his kingdom, Hebrews 1:8. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 96:6. Mercy and truth go before his face. Psalms 89:14. For the law of love being the foundation of the government of Yahweh, the happiness of all intelligent beings depends upon their perfect accord with the great principles of the righteousness. For Yahweh desires from all his creatures the service of love, service that springs from an appreciation of his character. He takes no pleasure in a forced obedience, and all he grants freedom of will, that they may render him voluntary service. So long as all the created beings acknowledge the allegiance of love, there is perfect harmony throughout the universe of Yahweh. It was the joy of the heavenly host to fulfill the purpose of their Creator, for they delighted in the reflection of his glory and showing forth his praise. And while love to Yahweh was supreme, love for one another was confiding and unselfish. There was no note of the discord to mar the celestial harmony, but a change came over the happy estate. There was one who perverted the freedom that Yahweh had granted unto his creatures. Sin originated with him, Satan, who, next to Yahshua, had been most honored of his Father Yahweh, and was the highest in the power and glory. Among the inhabitants of the heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning, was first of the covering cherubs, holy and undefiled, he stood in the presence of the great Creator and the ceaseless beams of glory, and shouting, the eternal Yahweh rested upon him. Thus saith Yahweh, thou sealed up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Yahweh. Every precious stone was thy covering. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of Yahweh. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thus saith Yahweh, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Let's do that again. Let's back up again a little bit further. Let's review some things over. Sin originated with him, who next unto the Yahshua had been most honored as the Father Yahweh, and was the highest in power and glory among the inhabitants of heaven. For the Lucifer, son of the morning, was first of the covering cherub. Holy and undefiled, he stood in the presence of the great Creator and the ceaseless beams of the glory, and shrouding the eternal Yahweh rested upon him. Thus saith the Yahweh, thou wast sealed up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Yahweh. Every precious stone was thy covering. Thou art the anointed cherub and that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of the Father Yahweh. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy way from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Ezekiel 28:12-15. Little by little, Lucifer came to indulge the desire for the self-exaltation. For the scripture said, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Ezekiel 28:17. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14:13-14. Though all his glory was from the Father Yahweh, this mighty angel came to regard it as pertaining unto himself. Not content with his position, though, honored above the heavenly host, he ventured to covet homage due alone to the Creator, instead of seeking to make Yahweh supreme in the affection and allegiance of all created beings. It was his endeavor to secure their service and loyalty unto himself, and covering the glory with which the Infinite Father had invested his Son. This prince of the angels aspired to power that was the prerogative of the Yahshua alone. Now the perfect harmony of the heaven was broken. Lucifer's disposition to serve himself instead of his Creator aroused a feeling of apprehension when observed by those who considered that the glory of the Yahweh should be supreme. To heavenly counsel the angels pleaded with the Lucifer, the son of Yahweh, presented before him the greatness, the goodness, and the justice of the Creator, and the sacred, unchanging nature of his law. Yahweh himself had established the order of heaven, and in the departing from it, Lucifer would dishonor his maker and bring ruin upon himself. But the warning given in the infinite love and mercy only aroused a spirit of resistance. Lucifer allowed his jealousy of Yahshua to prevail. And because the more determined, and became the more determined to dispute the supremacy of the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua was the Son of Yahweh. Let's read that again. By the disputing of the supremacy of the Son Yahshua of the Father Yahweh, thus impeaching the wisdom and love of the Creator, had become the purpose of this Prince of Angels. Let's read that again. Had become the purpose of this Prince of the Angels. Unto this subject, he was about to bend the energies of that mastermind, which next to Yahshua was first among the hosts of the Father Yahweh. But he who would have the will of all his creatures free, left none unguarded through the bewildering sophistry by which the rebellion would seek to justify itself. Before the great contest should open, all were to have a clear presentation of his will, whose wisdom and goodness were the spring of all their joy. The King of the universe summoned the heavenly host before him, that in their presence he might set forth the true position of his Son and show the relation he sustained to all created beings. The Son of Yahweh shared the Father's song and the joy of the eternal self-existent one encircled both. About the throne gathered the holy angels a vast unnumbered throng, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands could come to 100 million. Revelation 5:11. For the most exalted angels, as the ministers and subjects rejoicing in the light that fell upon them from the presence of the deity, before the assembled inhabitants of the heaven, their king declared that none but the Yahshua, as the only begotten of the Father Yahweh, could fully enter into his purposes. And unto him it was committed for the execution of the mighty counsel of his will. For the Son of Yahweh had wrought with the Father's will and the creation of all of the hosts of the heaven, and unto him as well as unto the Yahweh, their homage and allegiance were due, for the Yahshua was still to exercise, the divine power in the creation of the earth and its inhabitants. But in all of this, he would not seek power or exaltation for himself, contrary to the Yahweh's plan, that would exalt the Father's glory and execute his purposes of beneficent and love. So the angels joyfully acknowledged the supremacy of the Yahshua the fruit that is in it. For the angels joyfully acknowledge the supremacy of the Yahshua, and prostrating themselves before him, poured out their love and adoration. For the loose rebelled with him, but in his heart there was a strange, fierce conflict. Truth, justice, and loyalty were struggling against envy and jealousy. For the influence of the holy angels seemed for a time to carry him with them. As the sounds of the praise ascended, and the melodious strains swelled by the thousands of the glad voices, the spirit of the able seemed vanquished. Unutterable love can thrill his entire being. His soul went out in the harmony with the sinless worship and the love to the Father and the Son. But again, he was filled with the pride in his own glory. His desire for the supremacy returned, and the envy of Yahshua was once more endured. For the high honors conferred upon the Lucifer was not appreciated as the Father's special counsel, and therefore called forth no gratitude to his Creator, for he gloried in his brightness and exaltation, and aspired to be equal with the Father Yahweh, for he was beloved and reverenced by the heavenly host. Angels delighted to execute his commands, and he was clothed with the wisdom and glory above them all. Yet the Son of the Yahweh was exalted above him as one in power and authority with the Father, for he shared the Father's counsel, while Lucifer did not thus enter into the purposes of the Yahweh. Why, question this mighty angel, should the Yahshua have the supremacy? Why is he honored above Lucifer? Leaving his place in the immediate presence of the Father, Lucifer went forth to diffuse the spirit of the discontent among the angels. He worked with a mysterious secrecy, and for a time concealed his real purpose under an appearance, or with an appearance, of the reverence for the Father, Yahweh. He began to insinuate doubts concerning the laws that govern the heavenly beings, intimating that those laws might be necessary for the inhabitants of the worlds, angels being more exalted, needed no such restraint, for their own wisdom was a sufficient guide. They were not beings that could bring dishonor to the Father Yahweh. All their thoughts were holy. It was no more possible for them than for Yahweh himself to err, for the exaltation of the Son of Yahweh as equal with the Father was represented as an injustice to Lucifer, who it was claimed was also entitled to reverence and honor. If this prince of the angels could but attain unto his true exalted position, let's go and read that again. If this prince of the angels, Lucifer, could only attain unto his true exalted position, great good would accrue unto the entire host of the heaven, for it was his object for the securing freedom for all, that now even the liberty which they had hitherto enjoyed was at an end. For an absolute ruler had been appointed them, and unto his authority all must pay homage. Such were the scepter or the subtle deceptions that through the wiles of the Lucifer were fast obtaining in the heavenly courts. There had been no change in the position or authority of the Asura. Lucifer's envy and misrepresentation and his claims to equality with the Asura had made necessary a statement of the true position of the Son of Yahweh. But this had been the same from the beginning. Many of the angels were, however, blinded by the Lucifer's deception, taking advantage of the loving, loyal trust reposed in him. By the holy being, under or with his command, he had so artfully instilled into their mind his own distrust and discontent that his agency was not discerned. Lucifer had presented the purposes of the Father Yahweh in a false light, misconstruing and distorting them to excite dissent and dissatisfaction. He commonly drew his hearers on to give utterance to their feelings. Then these expressions were repeated by him when it would serve his purpose. As evidence that the angels were not fully in harmony with the government of Yahweh, for claiming for himself perfect loyalty to Yahweh, he urged that changes in the order and laws of heaven were necessary for the stability of the divine government. Thus far working for the exciting opposition unto the law of Yahweh and to instill his own discontent into the minds of the angels under him, he was ostensibly seeking to remove dissatisfaction and to reconcile disaffected angels to the order of heaven, while secretly fomenting discord and rebellion. He, with the consummate craft, caused it to appear as his sole purpose to promote loyalty and to preserve harmony and peace. For the spirit of the dissatisfaction thus channeled was doing its baleful work. While there was no open outbreak, the vision of feeling imperceptibly grew up among the angels. There were some who looked with favor upon Lucifer's insinuations against the government of Yahweh, although they had hitherto been in perfect harmony with the order which Yahweh had established. They were now discontented and unhappy because they could not penetrate his unsearchable counsel. They were dissatisfied with his purpose and the exalting Yahshua. They stood ready to second Lucifer's demand that equal authority with the Son of Yahweh. But angels who were loyal and true men attain the freedom and justice of the divine decree and endeavor to reconcile this affected being to the will of Yahweh. As Seir was the son of Yahweh, he had been one with the Father, or with him before the angels were called into existence. He had ever stood at the right hand of the Father. His supremacy, so full of the blessing unto all who came under its benignant control, had not hitherto before been questioned, for the harmony of heaven had never been interrupted. Wherefore should there now be discord? For the loyal angels could see only the terrible consequences. From this dissension, and with the earnest entreaty, they counseled the disaffected ones to renounce their purpose and prove themselves loyal to Yahweh by the fidelity to his government. In the great mercy, according unto his divine charity, Yahweh bore along with Lucifer, for the spirit of the discontent and disaffection had never before been known in heaven. It was a new element, strange, mysterious, unaccountable. Lucifer for himself had not at first been acquainted with the real nature of his feelings. For a time, he had feared to express the workings and imaginings of his mind. Yet this did not dismiss them. He did not see whether he was drifting, but such efforts as the infinite love and wisdom only could devise were made to convince him of his error. His disaffection was proved to be without cause, and he was made to see what would be the result of persisting in the revolt. Lucifer was convinced that he was in the wrong. He saw that Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works, Psalms 145:17, that the divine statutes are just, and he ought to acknowledge them as such before all heaven. Had he done this, he might have saved himself and many angels. He had not at that time fully cast off his allegiance unto Yahweh, though he had left his position as the covering cherub. Yet if he had been willing to return to Yahweh, acknowledging the Creator's wisdom and satisfied to fill the place appointed him in the Yahweh's great plan, he would have been reinstated in his office. The time had come for a final decision. He must further yield to the divine sovereignty or place himself in the open rebellion. He nearly reached the decision to return, but pride forbade him. It was too great a sacrifice for one who had been so highly honored to confess that he had been in error, that his imaginings were false, and to yield to the authority which he had been working to prove unjust. For a compassionate Creator, in a yearning pity for Lucifer and his followers, was seeking to draw them back from the abyss of ruin into which they were about to plunge, but his mercy was misinterpreted. Lucifer pointed to the long-suffering of the Father Yahweh as an evidence of his own superiority superiority, an indication that the king of the universe would yet decide to his turn. If the angels would stand firmly with him, he declared, they could yet gain all that they desired. For he persistently defended his own court and fully committed himself to the great controversy against his maker. Thus it was that Lucifer, the light bearer, the share of Yahweh's glory, the attendant of his throne, by the transgression became Satan, the adversary of Yahweh and holy being, and the destroyer of those whom heaven had committed to his guidance and guardianship. Rejecting with a disdain the arguments and treaties of the loyal angels, he denounced them as deluded slaves for the preference shown to Yahshua. He declared an act of injustice both unto himself and unto all the heavenly hosts, and announced that he would no longer submit unto this invasion of his rights and theirs. He would never again acknowledge the supremacy of Yahshua. He had determined to claim the honor which should have been given him, and take command of all who would become his followers, and he promised those who would enter his ranks a new and better government, under which all would enjoy freedom. Great numbers of the angels signified their purpose to accept him as their leader, flattered by the favor with which his advances were received. He hoped to win all the angels to his side to become equal with the Father, Yahweh himself, and to be obeyed by the entire host of heaven. Still, the loyal angels urged him and his sympathizers to submit to Yahweh, and they set before them the inevitable result should they refuse. He who had created them could overthrow their power and signally punish their rebellious daring. No angel could successfully oppose the law of Yahweh, who was as sacred as himself, for they warned all to close their ears against Lucifer's deceptive reasoning, and urged him and his followers to seek the presence of Yahweh without delay, and confess the error of the questioning his wisdom and authority. Many were disposed to heed this counsel, to repent of their disaffections and seek to be again received into the favor with the Father, Yahweh, and his Son, Yahshua. But Lucifer had another deception ready for the mighty revolter, and now declared that the angel who had united with him had gone too far to return, that he was acquainted with the divine law, and knew that the Father would not forget. He declared that all who should submit to the authority of heaven would be stripped of their honor, degraded by their position. For himself, he was determined never again to acknowledge the authority of Yahshua, for the only course remaining for him and his followers, he said, was to assert their liberty and gain by force the rights which had not been willingly recorded, accorded them. So far as Satan himself was concerned, it was true that he had now gone too far to return. But not so with those who had been blinded by his deception. To them, their counsel and entreaties of the loyal angels opened the door of hope. Had they heeded the warning, they might have broken away from the snare of Satan. But pride, love for their leader, and the desire for the unrestricted freedom were permitted to bear a sway, and his pleadings of divine love and mercy were finally rejected. For the Yahweh permitted Satan to carry forward his work until the spirit of the disaffection ripened into the active revolt. It was necessary for his plans to be fully developed, that their true nature and tendency might be seen by all. Lucifer, as the anointed cherub, had been highly exalted. He was greatly loved by the heavenly being, and his influence over them was strong. Yahweh's government included not only the inhabitants of heaven, but of all the worlds that he had created, and Lucifer had concluded that if it could carry the angels of heaven with him in rebellion, he could carry also all the world. He had awfully presented his side of the question, employing sophistry and fraud to secure his objects. His power to deceive was very great. By the disguising himself in a cloak of the falsehood, he had gained an advantage. All his acts were so clothed with the mystery that it was difficult to disclose to the angel the true nature of his work. Until fully developed, it could not be made to appear the evil thing it was. His disaffection would not be seen It could not be made to appear as the evil thing it was, for his disaffection would not be seen to be rebellion. Even the loyal angels could not fully discern his character or see under what his work was leading. For Lucifer had at first so conducted his temptation that he himself stood uncommitted. For the angels whom he could not bring fully to his side, he accused of the indifference to the interests of the heavenly beings. For the very work which he himself was doing, he charged upon the loyal angels. It was his policy to perplex with a subtle arguments concerning the purposes of the Yahweh. Everything that was simple, he shrouded in mystery, and by the artful perversion cast doubt upon the plainest statements of the Yahweh, and his high position so closely connected with the divine government and his high position so closely connected with the divine government gave a greater force to his representations, for the Yahweh could employ only such means as were consistent with the truth and righteousness. Satan could use what Yahweh could not. flattery and deceit. He had sought to falsify the word of Yahweh and had misrepresented his plan of the government, claiming that the Father Yahweh was not just in the imposing laws upon the angels, that in requiring submission and obedience from his creatures, he was seeking merely the exaltation of himself. It was therefore necessary to demonstrate before the inhabitants of heaven of all the world that Yahweh's government is just his perfect law. Satan had made it appear that he himself was seeking to promote the good of the universe. For the true character of the usurper and his real object must be understood by all. He must have time to manifest himself by his wicked works, for the discord which his own course had caused in heaven, Satan charged upon the government of Yahweh. All evil he declared to be the result of the divine administration, for he claimed that it was his own object to improve upon the statutes of the Yahweh. Therefore Yahweh permitted him to demonstrate the nature of his claim to show the working out of his proposed changes in the divine law, for his own work must condemn him. Satan had claimed from the first that he was not in rebellion, for the whole universe must see the deceiver unmasked. Even when he was cast out of heaven, infinite wisdom did not destroy Satan, since only the service of love can be acceptable to Yahweh. The allegiance of his creatures must rest upon a conviction of his justice and benevolence, for the inhabitants of heaven and of the worlds, being unprepared to comprehend the nature or consequences of sin, could not then have been the justice of Yahweh and the destruction of Satan. Had he been immediately blotted out of the existence, some would have served Yahweh from fear rather than from love. For the influence of the deceiver would not have been fully destroyed, nor would the spirit of rebellion have been utterly eradicated. For the good of the entire universe, through the ceaseless ages, he must more fully develop his principles, that his charges against the divine government might be seen in their true light by all created beings, and that the justice and mercy of Yahweh and the immutability of his law might be forever placed beyond all question. Satan's rebellion was to be a lesson to the universe through all the coming ages, a perpetual testimony unto the nature of sin and its terrible result. For the working out of Satan's rule, its effects upon both men and angels, but show what must be the fruit of sitting aside the divine authority. It would testify that with the existence of the Yahweh's government is bound up the well-being of all the creatures he has made. Thus the history of this terrible experiment of the rebellion was to be a perpetual safeguard unto all holy beings, to prevent them from being deceived as to the nature of the transgression, to save them from committing sin and suffering its penalty. He that ruleth in the heavens is the one who sees the end from the beginning, the one before whom the mysteries of the past and the future are alike outspread. and who beyond the woe and darkness and ruin that sin has wrought beholds the accomplishment of his own purposes of the love and blessing. Though clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and judgment are the foundation of his throne. Psalms 97:2. And this, the inhabitants of the universe, both loyal and disloyal, will one day understand his work for his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a Yahweh of the truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32:4. This brings the end of our study for this hour. Contest at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song.